Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101. I'm your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions U, calling to you live this week from Bossier City, Louisiana. Like we do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. Hello, Miss Rhonda, my co-host.
Well, hello,
and dear friend.
I am here. I unmuted myself, I think. Can you hear me?
I can. Awesome.
Great. Okay, perfect. So, this is a beautiful day out here in the Ozarks where I am, and I'm sure that the roosters will come and sing to us today. They've been very singy this morning.
Oh, I love it when they do that.
I do, too. It's nice to have our little feathered friends.
Is it getting cooler by you?
Yes, it's been. This morning was so delicious I could eat it up with a spoon. It was just so wonderfully cool, and I happen to like fall, and I like when things cool off a bit, so it has been great.
When we got here to the Shreveport, Louisiana area last Thursday night, it was in the high 90s. And by yesterday, I don't think we hit 65 yesterday. I think when I got up yesterday morning, it was still in the high 50s. What a change almost overnight.
Yep, that's amazing the way that happens, isn't it? 90s, 50s.
Yeah,
so
in a matter of a day or two.
Yeah.
You don't know what
to
wear.
Yeah, I know.
Wear.
We were blazing hot one day, and wearing a blanket over it at night. In fact, I just had to, I went, you know, I needed a new comforter, so I rushed off and ordered one this morning so that I could have that for the winter when it gets cold for real.
To me, 55, 56 is cold for real. I don't ever get into temperatures much colder than that. Not ever anymore.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am just really excited about our show as always, and it's fun to talk about relationship marketing and growing your business through the power of building relationships. And,
for 14, 15, 16 hours a day and never get tired of it.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing, and it's really funny because sometimes I'll be talking to prospective guests and they go, that show seems really long. And I say, well, you know, you'll be surprised. And I say, we don't put a gun to anyone's head to stay the whole time. And several times people have said they had to leave, and you can barely shut them up before the show time over. So it's funny how it just really gets deep about building your business through relationships and through both the power of the Internet and, of course, of the power of human beings to connect and make amazing things happen. And I'll tell you, I really love doing this show each week and bringing such cool, interesting people with diverse backgrounds to our audience to help them out. So,
you have really done a great job of finding some awesome guests for our show.
I'm always so grateful
for meeting so many neat people. I don't know where you even find them all.
Oh, you know, sometimes I just stumble across them in different places or whatever, and I want to get to our guests shortly, but I just want to give a little sneak preview of things that are to come for our show, because interestingly enough, there's an actor named Mike Nieske who has been in all kinds of shows. I mean, everything from if I had to read every show that he's been in, it would probably take me the hour and a half to do the show, and he is the author of a new book. He will be here next week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And John Harrison, who has been a guest on our show and is the number one best-selling author and one of the most deeply spiritual and phenomenal people that I know, recommended. I saw Mike's book, and I went, oh, it'd be so cool to have him on the show. And literally, I feel like I summoned it, because the next thing I hear, ba-ding, an email comes in, and John says, I think you should have Mike Niesky on your show. I was like,
oh my goodness.
I was just going to go start to find out the guy's contact info and reach out on his website, and John just, you know, right away sent me. It was so funny. I was like, oh, that's almost freaky.
And, you know, when we had John on the air, John was talking about that exact thing. I had asked him, how did he get to meet so many amazing, huge, recognized people in his life? And he said, all he does is exactly that. I want to meet so-and-so. And the next thing you know, it happens.
I saw Mike's book, When Life Throws You Lemons, Throw Them Back. Don't even make lemonade, just throw them back. I love that title so much. And the minute I saw that title, I went, oh, yeah, he has to be on our show. And lately I feel like I'm summoning people. The minute I think of someone, I go, oh, I'd like to have this or meet this person or whatever. Things are showing up. It's kind of fun. So I'm real excited about him. And the power of asking, this is a really big lesson for everybody. It's just the power of asking a lot of times. Don't assume that someone's too big for you to be able to reach them or whatever. There's a guy that we're having in November, and he is an actor, producer, director. He's writing a book, which is coming out in mid-November, and that's when he'll be on our show. And I'm talking about this because of just the power of asking. I came up to be aware of him because he has a DVD called Do You Want to Dance, which you can find at asktsl.com/dance. asktsl.com/dance. Fabulous, wonderful story. The minute I saw the trailer, I went, I want him on our show. So I just asked him, and lo and behold, he is had been traveling quite a bit, but we got him for November, and it happens to be coinciding with his new book that's coming out. So we'll have the book as well as the fabulous movie. Gina, you will love this movie. You will love it.
I can't wait.
It's really about the power that one person can have to not only influence one person's life, but the way that by influencing that one person can then influence a whole community.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
He shivers to think about it. I literally went from I got the movie into my mailbox, and I went, oh, I'm watching this right now, and I put it right into the DVD player. And I didn't even make popcorn. It was just so great to watch that. So he will be here. It's just very cool how all of these wonderful people come to us and then can be on the show and be a part of it.
That's my TV screen. Sorry about that.
Oh, wow. It sounded like you had a warplane coming right over here.
Yeah. So we have, in the new motorhome, we have a 50-inch TV that pops down from the ceiling up in the front of the motorhome. It's like a big screen TV.
Oh, wow.
When we want to get ready to go somewhere, we've got to put this stupid thing up.
Oh, and when you do, it's just, boy, the sound through the phone line is like nailed
on.
It's
I know.
Really
usually Bill gives me warning so I can mute, but this time he didn't.
That's okay. Not the end of the world. It was just a little surprising noise there. So, but yeah, I mean, this is just such a tremendous thing of the power of relationships and just the power of asking.
So the name of that movie is Do You Want to Dance?
Do You Want to Dance? You can find it at asktsl.com/dance. It is a movie. It's a full-length feature movie. There is some of the dancing equally as good as, you know, Footloose or any of those other dance movies, Dirty Dancing, Footloose, Flashdance, Fame, any of the dancing that you'll see in those big budget movies, equally as good.
Wow.
And the dancing is great. Man, you can't hardly sit down and watch it. Sometimes you're up dancing, except that you're staring at the actor. Luca Burnin' Love, he's just amazing. But that's who's going
to
be on the show.
I don't have to go get that right this minute.
Yeah, go grab it. And it's beautiful. And because of the story, yeah, the dancing is great, and I love movies for dancing. But what I love the most about it is the story of transformation. transformation happens by changing life, who then transforms the community. It's just a beautiful story, and I love it, love it, love it. So these are just amazing people that we get. And then sometimes, like today, our guest is somebody where some of their people actually approached us and said, gee, we'd like to have, you know, one of our people on the show. And so
having a Blog Talk Radio show of your own.
Yes, exactly. You know, it is. It's one of the hidden things that you may not think about. Sometimes people get caught up in, well, where am I going to find the guest, or am I going to find whatever? They will start coming to you. They will start. That's the way that we're getting several of these people, is they have come to us either through a recommendation, like by John Hiricher on recommendation of Mike Nieske, or they might be somebody who has come directly to us, like today's guest that we have. So I'm really excited to have this sort of thing happen.
You know, I think one of my new students has actually been in things with Mike. My student
really?
Is Sarah Madison Goldberg.
You know, that's
Goldberg.
Possible. Yeah,
and
very,
I think it's quite, I think I remember seeing something that the two of them were in. I know who he is. I've seen him in a number of things.
Yeah, I've seen him on various things. And yeah,
I'll have to make sure that we have her on. I'll give her a call. If she has been on something with Mike and they know one another, I'll have her on just as a backup so that we can surprise
Mike.
Have her
be a mystery guest. Come in during the show, yes. That'll be a lot of fun.
That will be. And, you know, the one thing before we go to our guest that I want to really suggest to everyone who's maybe thinking about doing a Blog Talk Radio show, but going, oh, boy, I don't know if I can do this myself. The best thing I've ever done was getting Rhonda to co-host a show with me. It makes it so much more fun to have someone there on the air with you every week that you
mm-hmm.
know you can banter back and forth with easily. I mean, Rhonda and I are friends first, colleagues second. So we could sit
right.
there and talk for hours without any problem, whether we had
easily.
Guests or not.
Right, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes, you know, either somebody schedules and then they have a, you know, family emergency or a scheduling conflict comes up or, you know, whatever like that. We were supposed to have couple of people at different times, and they had one of them got into a movie or whatever, so things happen, and sometimes you don't end up with a guest, but when you have a co-host, you've got someone to talk to, so it's not on phone line, you know, trying to figure out what to say next, and it's much more fun for the listener to have two voices as well.
It really is, and, you know, we've had a couple of guests that were a little slow, and
yep.
at least you and I could keep the show going. And 90 minutes has always seemed like a blink of an eye to us, I think, because of that.
Yeah, it does. And just like anything else, you know, people are differently talented. And some people, it is a little bit like pulling teeth to get good information out of them. And some people, once you get them primed and ready, they can hardly be shut up. I mean, that was the funniest thing when we had Devin O'Brannigan. She was saying, well, I have to leave early. And okay, you know, whenever you have to leave, and the next thing is like, okay, Devin, we got to end the show now. So
that was fun. I enjoyed her a lot. What a neat lady. But I've been looking forward to today's guest for a while, ever since we got the message through Blog Talk Radio saying, hey, we've got someone that could be a really great guest for your show.
So, and today is a little bit different. Let me unmute her line before I have to start dealing with the bio here just a second. There we go. And so today we have somebody who actually all kinds of different of marketing, and we'll talk to her about this. So our guest today is Shanna Kirby. She's the director of marketing at, excuse me, I'm so sorry. That's a great time to get a frog in your throat. She's the director of marketing for Roger West Creative. And she has a really interesting background because Shanna is also an adjunct faculty in teaching marketing and teaching internet marketing and so forth. She does all kinds of different things around teaching college students the power of marketing. And she is working with the Roger West Group. So online marketing is definitely an area of specialty, and also content development, which we might call content creation, but the same idea. And so she also works with integrated marketing solutions is what they will call that. So we'll be able to talk to her some more about that. She is a native of Tampa, Florida. She has an MA from Florida State University in integrated marketing and management communication. And so we're going to be, she works with different nonprofit organizations, creating and implementing communications and marketing. And that's going to be great. I'll tell you, any kind of a charity and not-for-profit agency definitely needs to have somebody who understands the power of the internet and of how to communicate in an effective way, because there's just so much noise in the background in this, the way things are now. So, Shanna, we're very excited to have you on Relationship Marketing 101.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here as well.
Great. Well, I spend my winters down in Bonita Springs, Florida, only about an hour and a half or so south of you. We'll have to make sure we connect when I get down there in December.
Yes, that would be great, and hopefully we'll be having some great weather as we are today. It's sunny and warm out, and, you know, we could go to the beach here if we wanted to. We're not experiencing any of the cold weather you were talking about earlier.
Oh, and, you know, last winter was so unseasonably cold for all of Florida. Oh, it was terrible. I've never had such a really cold winter at the south end of Florida in my life. So
it really was. It was miserable.
It was. And there was no place you could go to escape it. I left in January for a 7-day cruise. We went all the way down to Honduras. And still, it was 38 degrees. It snowed in port in Cape Canaveral the day we left.
It's like I write down what it's supposed to do.
It just doesn't.
Well,
it's not supposed to happen that way in Florida.
No, it's not. And as you were saying earlier, I'm a native of Tampa, born and raised here. I'm used to the warm weather. So when it drops down into the 60s, I have a jacket and a beanie and a scarf. And I'm a little Eskimo when it gets into the 60s. So the last year's winter was unreasonably cold and miserable for people like me, the warm-blooded creatures.
Born and raised in the windy city of Chicago, and I used to be really cold winters, but I was sick for 10 years, and we left home in 2005, and we've been on the road ever since. And it's amazing how quickly your body becomes accustomed to not having the cold. And anymore, going down into 30 and 20-degree weather and in Chicago down to sub-zero temperatures, I just couldn't handle.
No. No, I wouldn't be able to handle it either.
Well, I remember when I was born and raised in Chicago as well and had relatives from Florida, and it was an autumn day. I mean, it was in the 60s or something, and I remember pulling out hats and scarves and whatever because these people were so freezing. And they're like, how can you go around in a T-shirt? And I'm like, well, it was fine for me, you know, and they were so used to it being 80, 90, 100 degrees that they were freezing. So I was going in for all the winter things I had to help them stay warm, warm sweaters and, you know, whatever. They were just freezing.
It's ironic that we're talking about Chicago being one of the coldest places that you've been, because it's actually the hottest place I've ever been. When I was up there in the summer, I think it was during either July or August, we were right there in the middle of the city, and it was over 100 degrees, and it was just blistering hot. I had never been somewhere so hot before. So that's so ironic, the stark contrast between winter and summer in Chicago.
Well, 100 degrees in Chicago and 100 degrees in Florida are two totally different 100-degree days because of the humidity that happens in Chicago. It's certainly not the same as a 100-degree day in Florida, that's for sure.
No, definitely not.
Even 100 degrees where I live in Missouri now, and I live pretty far south, really, and it does get hot, and we did get some brutally hot temperatures this summer. But most of the time, it's not horribly humid. We had some days like that this year. The weather's being a little bit wonky lately, but, you know, it's just interesting how much that stuff has an effect on all of us. When I lived in Denver in Colorado for so many years, I found that I really craved and missed the green foliage that I was used to from being raised in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that never bothers me. I don't miss that when I'm out west.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
I don't perform so hot in the cold. When it gets cold, I tend to get a little sluggish.
Too funny. So
well,
tell
you
us
know
a
what?
Little about. I've been looking so forward to the show because I've been dying to ask you to explain a little bit about what you do in your profession.
Okay. Well, during the day, I'm the director of marketing for Roger West Creative & Code. We are an interactive marketing agency, so we specialize mostly in online marketing. We do enterprise-level web design and development, but like any other typical agency, we do branding, we do traditional marketing, we do marketing strategy, marketing planning, and those sorts of things. I think the thing that makes us different is when you go to a traditional agency, I mean, they're really gung-ho on the creative and the idea, and they spend a lot of time doing research, and they come up with some really killer creative ideas, but they lack in that follow-through. They don't really measure a lot of times what they're doing. They don't pay attention to how effective their campaign was. And agencies sort of struggle in that area. But on the other side, you have, you know, those online marketing agencies, online marketing web development companies who are really gung-ho about the technology and the analytics and the tracking. And sometimes the brand gets lost in the wayside, and they sort of forget about the creative and the idea. And so at Roger West, we sort of put both of those together, where we deliver high-end creative, but we also deliver that high-end technology, and everything that we do is driven by data and analytics and, you know, research and the consumer and testing and those sorts of things. But the brand is still really the most important thing. So we kind of combine the big agency with the web development and interactive internet marketing company into one full-service agency. Does that make sense?
Ah, it sure does. And, you know, that is something that, as someone who teaches this stuff as well, but I teach in a different way, not at a college level, but within my own school. I have met so many people from so many different agencies and a lot of customers of agencies as well. And they always are so amazed when they hear the importance I place on research and analytics. Because most agencies don't talk about that stuff to them.
Right.
So you're right. That is a very unusual thing. And do you teach the same things at a college level?
Yes, at the college level, I teach and write a number of courses in both the advertising department and the internet marketing department. So I teach media design concepts. I teach internet marketing campaign. I teach introduction to internet marketing, and we talk about what is effective advertising, how do we brand ourselves, develop relationships with, you know, our customers, how do we get to know our customers and our audience, what is market research. So we talk about a lot of those different things.
Wow,
I don't
that's
talk
when
too
I
much
was
about the creative. I'm not a designer, and I don't talk about design, although I do talk about concepts and ideas.
Back when I was in school in the 80s, there just wasn't anything like that in school, and I'm so glad to hear that schools are now really bringing those topics into the curriculum, because it's a topic that you can't succeed online without, that's for sure.
Right, and we're actually, the college that I teach at is one of only a handful of programs that actually issue a degree in internet marketing.
Wow,
so
that
I'm really proud to be
unusual.
A part of it.
Very unusual. I really want to go back and finish my PhD. All I need is 13 hours in my thesis, and I'm done. I just haven't finished it yet.
Only your thesis. The dissertation of a PhD is a, quite an undertaking, so I wish you the best of luck in that.
Well, I had actually been in a program at one point and started it, so it's a matter of going back and finishing it. At one point, I only had 12 to 18 months to live, and there were lots of other priorities at that point. So I decided not to finish my PhD, but I really want to go back and finish it, and I really want my PhD in internet marketing, given that my background is in law. I'm an attorney by trade, and I went to law school not to become a lawyer, but because I wanted to teach, and I had done the research when I was a kid and learned that law school professors were the highest paid teachers out there. So I went to law school just to become a high paid teacher. And then I found out how easy and lucrative it could be to be a coach and mentor, and you could make even more money than a law school professor. But I'm really glad to see that there is a school out there that has a focus in internet marketing, because you're right, that's very rare.
Yes, it is. It is rare. And it's our program is very new. I started developing content at the beginning of the year, January, February, and I believe classes were started in June. So it's only been, been around for a few months. I mean, the school has been around for a very long time, but this particular program has only been around for a few months. It's just getting off the ground.
Well, if I can ever do anything to help with that, please let me know. I'm very interested in education and would always enjoy something like that.
Certainly. If we have any courses, I believe that we do have some courses that need to be taught and courses that need to be developed, so we can talk about that off air if you'd like. Yeah, sounds good.
That would be awesome.
At Rutgers West, go ahead.
Go ahead on that.
Oh, no, I was just saying that that's really great because I think it's the one thing is that having a college class can legitimize things, and I've taught college for 7 years in a completely different arena, but it really does help whatever area that you're covering seem much more legitimate, that it has actually college classes versus being something that seems fringy and out there on the edges.
Right. Well, it's an accredited program, which also gives the program some credibility as well. There's a third party that is monitoring and assessing and auditing everything that you do to make sure that your curriculum and your program is up to par in terms of the information it's delivering. Is it best practices, best standards, that sort of thing? So as a student, you know that a third party has come in and audited this program, and you know that it has some form of credibility other than the school just says it's a great program.
Well, right. And for so many years now, people who call themselves internet marketers have been scorned by their families and told, oh, that's not a real career, get out of your career. And, you know, they're left to feel like, oh, great, you know, I'm just this fly-by-night person. Having a curriculum that gives you a degree in that arena really makes that person more accepted by the society as a whole, especially their families. So that, to me, is just an incredible thing.
Right, right.
So many of my students are really dealing with their family saying, get a real job. And you have to overcome that mindset issue before you really can succeed in doing anything online. So let's talk about the relationship aspect for enterprise-level customers. Is it the same for a big company as it is for a solo person, a solopreneur? Relationships still build the business?
I believe so. You know, there's been a lot of hype around social media and internet marketing and digital media and all the different things that you can do online. And I think it comes down to the fact that people don't do business with companies. They do business with other people. And so we use social media at Roger West very sparingly, but as individuals, we use social media a lot. And so that's sort of our company social media strategy, is we're not necessarily saying that, you know, Roger West has a Facebook page and Roger West has a blog and Roger West has a Twitter page. Instead, Shanna at Roger West has a Twitter account. Kelly at Roger West has a Twitter account. Mike, the CEO at Roger West, has a Facebook page, and you can connect with us because at the end of the day, they're doing business with me, Shanna, because they like me, they trust me, they believe I'm knowledgeable and that I can help them solve their problems. They're not doing business with Roger West, which is a company or a figment of our imagination. It's the person behind the company that really drives the business, and so those relationships are key in terms of, you know, building trust and credibility and being able to work with these types of enterprise level companies. It's not different for enterprise level companies. It's still about the people who are behind the company.
And, you know, I think the last, oh, 8 or 9 years, primarily since 9/11, as a society, we have gotten so much more into doing business with people than we ever have in the last 50 to 100 years, I think. And it seems like social media is just making that evolve even faster.
Right.
So do you find your enterprise-level clients through social media or through other mechanisms?
Actually, the mechanism that works the best for me is through volunteering and giving back to others and getting involved in organizations. For example, I serve as a board member for the American Marketing Association in Tampa Bay. I'm the VP of programming, which means that I help find the speakers that come to us, so I get to meet a lot of CEOs and directors, VPs of marketing of enterprise-level companies in that manner, as well as my fellow board members are also, you know, C-level executives within enterprise companies as well, and I build trust by serving with them, and a lot of them have their own clients they can recommend me to, or they themselves are potential clients, and that has actually been one of the best methods for me personally to generate those enterprise-level clientele.
That's a really interesting thing. I never would have thought of doing to make sure that I had plenty of clients, but that's a really good point.
Uh-huh.
And is that a paid position or is that a volunteer type position?
This is a volunteer type of position, and it's about serving, basically, servanthood and, you know, giving back to the community. And in this way, I'm able to give back to the marketing community within Tampa Bay. And all of the marketing leaders within Tampa Bay are pretty much a part of this organization. And I'm also a figurehead leader within the organization. So the members see me as a leader and, you know, as I'm serving alongside other volunteers and other board members in active service. And, you know, I think of it sort of like a reverse pyramid, right? So I'm putting myself at the bottom by serving and doing all of the hard work and, you know, getting my hands dirty. And by that, I will be raised to the top and people will see me and see my attitude, see my service, and they're going to want to engage with me, ask me questions, find out, you know, what makes me different and eventually want to do business with me.
I hope my students are listening to you saying this because this is exactly what I teach them.
Yes.
Oh, good.
I've just been laughing. I'm like, oh, yeah, we never talk about service over here, ha, 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 like only every day, all the time, constantly.
Well, you've heard the saying, there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians, right? You've heard that saying?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, I like to say great chiefs know when to be Indians, and that's really what makes a leader, is someone who knows when to get in the game, get their hands dirty, serve their people, teach their people. And that's really what makes you a leader, and that's what makes you different. And when you're different, people recognize that, and they instinctively are drawn to you and want to know what makes you different. Why should I you know, do business with you, build a relationship with you, trust you, and they know these things because of the way you behave and the way that you act when you're out in public and the relationships that you build with other people and the servanthood that you exude in your lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
Any idea
where
the psychosis came from, Rhonda? It does. All of a sudden,
yeah. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Do you hear that? Do you hear this echo? All of
no.
a sudden? I wonder where it's coming from. If it doesn't get any better, I'll see what I can do to fix it.
Okay.
Okay. Can you
hear
it, Shanna?
I hear it a little bit. Yes, I can hear myself.
I do too.
I hear it on Shanna's line. I don't hear it on anybody else's, so I'm not really sure. And, you know, I don't really have very many ways to control anything in Blog Talk. So.
You're the only one that's not echoing. I'm echoing. Shanna's echoing. I'll see if I can fix it. I'll keep playing with controls and see if I can figure it out. Anyway, Rhonda, I'll let you jump in here and
let me jump in here because a few things that you're talking about, what you're saying, Shanna, is just so important for people, the power of serving. And we talk a lot about serving our customers, and you're also talking about serving the community as a way of finding customers in terms of you're being a volunteer in these organizations. And I think that's something that a lot of people tend to overlook once they're past college or whatever, you know, that part of being involved in some kind of professional association or organization or whatever. And I think it's an important thing talking about. And also, you're being a leader, but that being a leader does not always mean that you have to be the one who's in charge of the committee or whatever, but it means that you're there to serve the capacity that's needed. And that's what you're talking about when you say that a chief knows when and when to just be part of what's going on and just to be part of everything.
Right. Right. I've also found that, you know, through my service and through being involved, because I'm not just involved with the AMA, I'm involved with a lot of other organizations as well in different capacities, that when I meet someone, it's really important to remember as much as I can about them, and not just professionally, but personally, because I find that those personal touches that come after you first meet, the handwritten letters, remembering a birthday, you know, if you see them in the newspaper, they got a promotion or they were interviewed by a reporter and now there's an article about them, or they wrote something and it was published somewhere, and you see those things, you can send them to them and say, hey, you know, I saw this, really great job, go get them, I'm proud of you, or, you know, I saw this and I was thinking of you, and just knowing things about them personally and connecting with them on a personal level that has nothing to do with business is really helpful. And they begin to, you know, trust you and think of you more as a friend. And we do business with our friends. So the more friends you have and the more friends that you can win and make, the better your business is going to be in terms of being able to develop new business. And people say, wow, thanks for noticing. Because the reason is it's the unexpected, right? People expect you to forget. They expect you not to remember. They expect you not to care. But when you actually listen, remember, and do care, it's unexpected. And they remember that. And they value your consideration and recognition of them.
Right. Yeah, and you're very, very right. And I think that's important. In other words, you're talking about going with an open hand, not a closed hand or a grab hand. And I think we've all been at various kinds of organizations, networking events, or, you know, maybe it's even a committee or something like that. And there's always somebody stuffing their business card in people's face basically saying, hey, I'm a realtor. Hey, I'm a realtor. You need a house, you need a house, you need a house, whatever. And we all, none of us likes that. So that what you're talking about is not going with that kind of an attitude, but really taking notice of the person. Now, how do you keep track of some of these personal details? Do you have a system that you use, Shanna?
Yes, actually I do. We use Salesforce CRM here at Roger West, and you know, our clients use different customer relationship management tools as well. But when I meet someone, I log them into the system, I write notes about them, and I immediately, so when I get a business card, when someone gives me a business card, the first thing I do when I come back is I usually have a stack of business cards. I connect with them on LinkedIn. Some of them I'll connect with on Facebook and just say, hey, it was really great meeting you, or it was nice sitting next to you at this event. I really enjoyed my conversation about X, Y, and Z, so I remind them of how they know me. Because, you know, mm-hmm. we all get those friend requests that are like, you know, so-and-so wants to be a friend with you. And you're like, how do I know that person? So I remind them of how I know them or how they're connected to me. And then I log them in our Salesforce CRM, and I put in all of the information and details about them. And then I just look for ways to follow up with them, especially if they're someone who I would consider a hot lead or a hot contact. That would be like a CEO of a company I've been trying to get in touch with, as a VP of marketing of a company that might be a really great prospect for us. I just always visit that hot list and try and figure out how can I get in front of them. And I read the newspaper, look for things for people's companies to be covered, for them to get a promotion, for things to happen, and send them little notes of congratulations, or I saw you here, and, you know, way to go out and promote your company, and just to, you know, constantly stay in front of them. But I use Salesforce and LinkedIn a lot in terms of my tools for keeping in touch with the people I meet and keeping those connections.
Okay. Well, I find that LinkedIn can be a little clunky to deal with sometimes as far as making those connections, because if you've met somebody, you know, whether, let's just say at a networking event and you're not really a part of their company or you're not on the same committee or whatever. So, you know, LinkedIn is a little bit clunky to make some of those connections. So what can you do a little bit easier if you did meet somebody at a conference or at whatever and you want to make those connections happen?
Do you mind describing what you mean by it's a little bit clunky? You mean it's hard to connect with them using the interface?
Yeah, most places, like if it's Facebook, I can easily write someone a message, and when along with making the request, it says, hey, we met at, this or that event, and it was great talking with you. I hope that your cat is feeling better or whatever it is. LinkedIn, to make the connection, seems to me that it's just not quite as easy, because you have to say a specific place that you're connected, like you're a colleague at this or you're a member of this organization together or whatever. And that may not always be the case.
I use LinkedIn all the time to connect with people I've met at conferences. It's just a matter of suggesting that they're a colleague and putting it in the message. Now, the message is a little short, but
yeah,
at least they say something really quick. So.
Well, you can't, if you're not connected with them in terms of an organization or colleague or you've done business in the past, there are two options that you can use. One option is the friend option, and you don't have to do anything. You just say they're a friend, and then a message will come to them that says, Shanna Kirby says that you are a friend, and then it will have my message saying, hey, it was so nice meeting you at the event, blah, blah, blah. So now they think we're friends, right, because we met, we had some camaraderie and stuff. Now, I use that one cautiously because, you know, some people might not think that you're a friend. So then there's the option of other. When you select other, you have to know their email address in order to connect with them. Well, I have their business card, so I just type in their email address, and it will send a LinkedIn announcement or connection request to that email. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, that's very helpful. And I think for a lot of people I've known that have said they find it a little bit more difficult on LinkedIn, so that's why I wanted to ask about that specifically, because I even had somebody say the other day, next time you get somebody who's big on LinkedIn, you know, that was just kind of a simple thing, but anything can trip you up, so that's a good thing of using the other or using the friend, depending on which is the most appropriate
A year ago, LinkedIn was a lot harder to use than it is today. They've made a lot of improvements in the recent past with LinkedIn, and it's gotten a lot more user-friendly because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't been in LinkedIn in a while, go back and try it again, because it really is a little different now than it was a year ago.
Yeah,
good.
It is. And professionally, LinkedIn is my favorite out of the big three, which would be LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. LinkedIn is really my favorite in terms of connecting with professionals and being on top of what's going on in the business world or in my industry and in my groups, having the different conversations that come out to me, you know, what are people saying on LinkedIn. I get automatic emails of, you know, different conversations that are going on, and I can jump right in and say my two cents. I can find people I met at a conference, whether or not I got their business card. Maybe I know the company, or maybe I know someone who knows them, so I can go and look at their connections and find them. There's just all these different ways for me to connect with the business community, and so I really love LinkedIn. It's a great tool.
You know, it's funny that you're talking about the big three as LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Whatever happened to MySpace? MySpace used to be, it was the first one out there, really. It was much bigger than Facebook when it first got started.
Yeah, the spammers.
No one talks
over
about
it.
MySpace anymore.
No. Nobody talks about MySpace anymore, and I think that's really the demographic of MySpace. It tends to be a younger generation. A lot of musicians use MySpace. If they're, you know, I have a lot of friends who have bands or are musicians, and they're usually going after that younger generation. So MySpace is a really great place for them to connect with their audience. And Facebook sort of started out as the way to connect with college community, right? When I first signed up for Facebook,
yep.
I had to have a college email URL handle. So that's how I got into Facebook. And so then that has grown into a more mature audience. And so I think, you know, businesses who are going after that more mature audience go to Facebook, and businesses who are going after a younger audience might consider using MySpace. MySpace just hasn't evolved the way Facebook has evolved. I mean, there just isn't the same sort of technology supporting MySpace as there is Facebook. Facebook is just cleaner. It's easier to use. You know, when you go onto a MySpace page, you can customize your MySpace page to look, you know, however you want, which isn't necessarily a good thing, because then as a visitor, I don't know how to connect with you. I don't know where the buttons are. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to push. It's crazy, and it looks weird, and it's just music starts playing as soon as I land on your page, and I think a lot of people are turned off by that, whereas Facebook has standardized the pages. They all look the same. They're all clean, and people like that. They know where the profile page is, where the news feed page is. They know how to get to their events. It's just easy to use. It's a great interface.
You know, and that really says a lot, because when you are designing these interfaces, if you don't make them easy to use for the user, not easy to use for the programmer, it is something that it becomes a turnoff for everyone. And I think that's a big part of relationship marketing, is knowing your customers well enough to even know what they would want to see and how they would want to use what you have to offer.
Right. At Rochester West, we call that user-centered design. So basically, we anticipate what the users are going to do when they come to a page, and we design for that sort of behavior. And in order to really understand that behavior, a lot of research is done up front. You know, focus groups, A/B testing, user testing. We look at, you know, analytics. If you have current web analytics, we want to know what's the most popular content. We want to know what are the most popular buttons that people click on. We want to know, like, what are their behavioral patterns and how do they interact with your website, so that we can design something that's optimized for how they're going to interact and behave on your website. And so we call that user-centered design. A lot of people call that user interface design. But basically, we design with the user in mind so that it is easy for them. And then that increases your chances of interacting with them and converting them to become a lead or a customer, whatever you are actually intending for them to do when they're on your website.
Well, you know, and that alludes to a topic that I really wanted to talk to you about, and that is, what types of tools do you use to get that kind of data? Because I would imagine the tools you use are similar to the tools that we use every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that the most popular tool is Google Analytics, and that's because it's free and it's widely used. The majority of our clients are using Google Analytics. It's relatively easy to use, and it's, you know, popular, so people are familiar with it, and they trust Google Analytics. There are some disadvantages of Google Analytics. For example, the data really isn't yours. So when you get something for free, there's no confidence that the data is going to be there tomorrow. They don't guarantee that that data is going to be there tomorrow. And so where would your business be if you were trusting Google Analytics for all of your data and then something happened where, you know, your data was completely wiped? You would no longer have that intelligence. So Google Analytics can actually be sort of scary, but it's widely used. It's out there, it's free, and if, you know, you have no other options, that's probably the best place to go, or that's where we would recommend to go. If you have the budget...
Thus far, they really haven't lost data that I'm aware of. Is that true for you, too?
I've heard stories. They haven't lost any of the data for our clients before, but I've heard stories from other companies who have got signed into their Google Analytics account and their data was all gone. Some of them got it back because Google, you know, will try and recover it, and some of them lost it. And it's not a very common theme. It's not something that happens a lot. But if you were to read their user agreement, then they don't guarantee that the data will be there. And they don't guarantee, you know, because it's not yours. You didn't pay for it.
Right.
You're not
right.
Housing it in your database. It's up to the world of Google, trusting Google. And I don't know about you, but I've had my Gmail account completely hacked. I've had my Gmail accounts go down. I've had people sign into my Gmail account and send an email to every single person in my contact list. So if they can do that to my Gmail account, there's nothing to say that they couldn't do that to my Analytics account or my Google Calendar or those sorts of things. It's a free service. Google does their best. They're a great company, but it's not guaranteed like if you are going with a paid service.
Right, and I've been blessed not to have had that happen to my Gmail account, but boy, I have so many people that I know that have had that happen. So that does happen quite often, and sometimes it's worse than others. So, you know.
Right.
So if you do have a budget, what kind of tools can you recommend?
Well, we like HubSpot. HubSpot is a good tool, and they offer some good analytics. They offer content management, email automation. They offer some analytics and a number of other features as well. Adobe has a really great analytics tool out there, and the name of it is escaping me. Oh, Omniture. Adobe has a product called Omniture, which is a really great, very robust system. I think they have multiple packages, so you can purchase all of these, you know, different software packages. So you can basically get a, you know, basic package, or you can go to the premium package that has every tool that they have for monitoring different, you know, different behaviors online. There's,
and I think their basic package is very similar to Google Analytics in terms of the data that you could get with it. They've got some really advanced stuff that really goes way beyond what you can do with Google Analytics.
Yes. You can actually track each individual user on your website. So let's say a company, I've been trying to get this company to buy a new product. So they're already my client, and I've been doing business with them for several years. And I'm trying to get them to purchase this new product that just came out. So my sales team has called them. We've sent them a direct mail piece. We've sent them an email campaign. And just they haven't converted yet. Well, I can get email notifications when that particular person or that particular company visits my website, and even more specific, visits that product page. So then I can monitor their behavior on my website and make decisions based on their activity to call them or send them another follow-up email or send them another direct email campaign or something like that. If you think about it, your it's called a lot of that's called marketing automation too, but if you think about it, if you go and you book something online, like an airplane ticket or something. Well, one night, our CEO Mike, he was gonna book his flight to somewhere in North Carolina to meet with a client, and he got on there to book his flight, and he decided that he wasn't gonna book his flight for some reason. He got distracted, so he clicked out. He closed the window. Within a few minutes, the company where he was searching for his flight sent him an email with all of the prices and flights for that destination, reminding him that he needed to make a purchase. And then after he did go and make the purchase, they sent him another email about a rental car or a hotel. And he was like, you know, I do need a rental car. So he got his rental car. And so that marketing automation, being able to track the behavior and then send follow-up marketing communications, is very important, and it's being used a lot, especially in these enterprise-level companies.
That's very interesting. So that brings us to a topic that I've also wanted to talk about, and that is email marketing. One of the biggest differences between enterprise-level companies and solopreneurs occurs with regard to email marketing. So many people who are solopreneurs really don't think twice about sending messages out every single day to their list or subscribers. And I know for an enterprise-level company, that tends to be very unusual. So do you help companies build their email marketing campaigns as well?
Yes, we do. We do help them build their email marketing campaigns. We design HTML emails. We write copy. We come up with incentive programs. We help with those marketing automation emails that go out based on behavior. So there's a number of email marketing campaigns that we launch for our clients. I would say the most popular is usually when there is some sort of offer or incentive campaign that's going on. So let's say we have a business-to-business client and they are hosting a webinar. We'll develop an email. We'll send that email to their list. Maybe sometimes it's a purchase list. Maybe it's their in-house list. Maybe it's a third-party list. They're partnering with another company or vendor in order to host this webinar. So we'll send out that email, and the sole purpose of the email is for conversion. So there are maybe there's one call to action for sure. Maybe there's one.
Oh, no, we just lost Shanna.
Uh-oh.
Hopefully she'll realize that we lost her and call right back.
Yeah, I didn't touch anything. So
yeah, I didn't either.
Her phone is gone from the queue, so hopefully she'll call back in just a minute here. Boy, technology sometimes does really funky things, doesn't it, Gina?
It sure does, and, you know, I think we finally fixed the echo issue, so that's good. It sounds a lot better right now than it did before. Hopefully, Shanna will call right back and I can get her unmuted again. That was really interesting what she was saying.
Yeah, I mean, very, because it's always great to be able to measure and know what's going on. And the thing is, you know, sometimes people start to think this whole business about conversion and whatever is unique to, you know, the online marketing space. And it's really not. It doesn't matter if I see webinars by Writer's Digest. .com, you know, a very common place for writers or other types of things, and everybody's dealing with the whole issue of how do you get and hold someone's attention, get them onto a call and get them paying attention and use the various ways to get data.
Absolutely. You know what, Rhonda, if you have Shanna's phone number, why don't you instant message me and I'll try and three-way call her if she's not back here in a minute.
Yeah, half a second, and I will. I was just about looking that up. If I sounded a little hesitant, that's because I was also trying to look through my email and get her, pull up her phone number.
I'm glad you're doing that. And you know that echoes back when I'm talking again? Darn it.
That's just very, very strange. Very, very strange.
It is, and
so,
it's not there when you're talking. Here, Shanna. There you are.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, there we go. We lost you, and I
was
just
looking
up
to
remember to call you. We're so glad that you're back, because this was very interesting.
Well, I kept going on and on and on and on, and then I looked down, and my phone was somehow got disconnected, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I've been talking for the past 5 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. We're glad that you're back anyway. You know, I was just looking over how to – I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't have any instant messaging thing for her, else I would have said, stop, wait, call back in. I was just about to close it.
So
well, we were talking
what did
you
about
miss? Email marketing. I think we only heard the first sentence or two.
Oh,
and you talked
okay.
about getting onto a webinar and that it was about conversions. And after that, we really don't know what you were saying. So definitely bring
okay.
us back in there.
Okay. Well, I was talking about email marketing and how the most popular type of email marketing campaign that we do for our clients usually involves some sort of incentive, and it's focused on conversion. So what that basically means is we want the recipient to actually do something. We don't send this type of email just to stay in touch with the customer or just to get our brand out there. This isn't about brand loyalty and brand recognition. This is about action and getting them to actually perform and do something. So the email will typically have a minimum of one call to action, maybe two or three at the most, but it could be download a white paper, download a toolkit, register for a webinar or a seminar or a live event. It could be a number of things, register for a contest. You know, there's a number of things that you might want them to do, and it's usually an incentive. So when they click on that link, you know, clicking on a link is a high cost action because you never really know where it's going to go. So when a user clicks on the link, they first have to trust you. So your email has to look good. It has to be compelling. It has to be credible. And when they get to the landing page, it has to match the email. The header has to be the same. The language needs to be the same. The tone, the colors, the logos, the imagery, it all needs to match. So you are just confirming with the recipient that they are indeed in the right location. And on the landing page, you call them to action and you call them to actually convert and do something. You know, to fill out a form to get your free white paper or to register for the event or to watch a video, whatever that might be. And so that is the most common type of email marketing campaign that we do for our enterprise clients, and that's you know, focused on conversion and action and getting them to do something.
And that is what I think it's all about, is that conversion marketing, focusing on getting someone to take some sort of action. Now,
right, you want
them
to engage with you.
Exactly. I know when I'm looking at improving conversions, one of the things I'm looking at is how engaged are people while they're on my website. Do you guys look at that as well?
Yes, how engaged they are. So it depends on the website in terms of what is your metric for engagement. So if I want to measure user engagement, that's a hard thing to measure because there's really not just a there's not just a number we can say, you know, there was 36% engagement. We need some sort of metric. So the metrics might be how many people subscribe to my RSS feed, how many people left a comment on my blog post, how many people went on to the next page versus how many of them bounced. And how long were they on that page? Were they on there for 2 seconds or were they on there for 3 minutes and really looking at the content? So we use all of these different metrics to measure the objective, which is user engagement. I want someone to get involved with my brand and get involved with my website. Does that make sense?
It does. Let's talk branding for a little bit, because you mentioned branding a number of different times. When you're working on branding with a company, what are you working at doing?
Okay, that's a good question, because I would say a lot of people have the same question. What does that mean, branding? And to us, that really means the message that you're sending, that's your perception in the community. A brand, you know, we really don't have control much over our brand anymore in terms of what people think and say about our brand because of the internet. There's a guy who wrote a book called Brand U.0, and his name is Damon. I can't remember his last name. Damon Armano. And he talks about brand U.0. And he talks about how a brand is basically interactions with your company plus the feelings that that person has about the interactions. So as a company, you have to be consistently delivering a positive message and a positive experience for your customers and your prospects. And the way that they interact with you and the way that they feel about you determines what your brand really is. So it's no longer what I say my company is or what I say my company does. It's what other people say my company is. It's what other people say my company does. It's how they feel about my company. The only thing that I can control anymore as a company is that message and those experiences that I put out. So everything now becomes about the brand. My customer service, the way the people answer my phone, the way my website looks, the way it feels, the way users interact, the message, the content, the product that actually is delivered or the service that's actually delivered, the packaging, everything has to be a good experience in order for me to have a strong brand. So all I can do as a company is create those really great experiences and send a consistent message, and then the way people receive that message and interact with that message defines what my brand is.
That really is a great explanation of what your brand is. So the brand is much more than just a company name or the name that someone calls you. It's the meaning behind that name.
Right. It's the interactions that people have with your company. If they're always negative experiences, right? If I'm always having a bad experience, I can think there's one company, I really like their products. I'm not going to say who it is. I really love their products. I really like the way their products work. I like using them. But every time I go online to purchase those products, their e-commerce system drives me bananas, and I want to throw my computer across the room. It's so frustrating. That's a negative brand experience. And my experience with that e-commerce system now has defined this brand to me. They're poor quality. They don't care about user experience. They have great products, but their product doesn't define their brand. It's the entire experience of me getting their products that defines their brand. So as a company, you have to make sure that every experience that a customer or prospective customer has with your brand is a positive one.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm glad.
It definitely does. And especially in this day and age when, you know, it used to be if you didn't like the way something happened, you might just tell your family and friends. Well, now you're likely to tweet about it or blog about it or, really make this whole thing very public. And I remember being on with customer service for a company, and she wouldn't give me over to a supervisor. And I said, well, you know, fine, but I'm just going to go post on Twitter that I'm having trouble with this issue, and it'll be all, you know, if I have to do it that way, but I'd rather that you connect me with somebody so we can get it resolved. And because people will do those kinds of things, and, you know, try to, and they will not just keep it to themselves or their few family or friends in their local town. Things are much bigger than that anymore.
It's interesting that you say that, because we know that they're going to talk about it anyways, which is sort of a plug for social media, right? We know they're going to talk about it anyway, so why not talk about it on your platform? So Comcast has a Twitter feed that's completely dedicated to those types of inquiries. My internet went down. My cable went down. I'm having a problem with this. I'm having a problem with that. You can tweet them, and they will respond to it. So if I'm going to talk negative about the company, or if I'm going to Comcast knows that their customers are going to experience problems, right? Because nothing is perfect, especially when it comes to technology and internet and cable service and those sorts of things. So rather than having angry customers putting it all up on their Facebook and their Twitters and that sort of thing, they have now created a channel for those communications and said, we know you're going to talk about it anyways. Why not talk about it with us? And we'll try and solve it as soon as we can. And being authentic and open, open about your shortcomings, because we all have them. And I think one of the things about relationships and building relationships is that you're open about your shortcomings and being authentic about who you are, because everybody has issues. Everybody has a problem. There's nothing perfect out there. There's no ideal service, especially when it comes to technology. So if you're open about it and you say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm not going to promise it's not going to happen again because I'm a human and this is reality, things go wrong, but I promise you that when something goes wrong, I'm going to do my best to fix it.
Right, a
That's
huge difference,
a
and it's
really
changed.
Really great thing to do. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It's just really changed the landscape, so to speak. It's changed, and we were talking about that on one of our show. We were talking about the trends that are happening now, and kind of addressed that is because of how interactive everything is. It really has changed the face of business and the way it's done. And why not? Since you know, all these, there are a lot of places that use Twitter as their department for dealing with issues, like you're saying with Comcast. They're not the only one to do. I think CenturyLink and some others do as well. And they, since they know it's going to come up this way, there's a set place for, okay, let's just get these things solved, and people come there and see that that's what happens.
Right. In contrast, there's a company whose service I use, and I was disappointed with their service, and so I went to their Facebook fan page, and I left a message for them. And as soon as I posted it, it was deleted. And I thought, is there something wrong? Did I do something wrong? So I posted it again, and it was deleted. So they had someone monitoring their Facebook fan page and getting rid of any negative feedback or comments, which is very, you know, that's inauthentic. It's not real. And, you know, so we applaud companies like Comcast who are open about, you know, their shortcomings, and they're willing to fix them.
Yes.
Wow. I think that's really sad that they would do something like that, but it does happen all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it
definitely
does.
Unfortunate.
So what
other
companies?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, as a company, you need to monitor your brand, and you don't want too much negative feedback. Right, so you do want to have those systems in place, especially you don't want, you know, profane material that's going out when people start commenting on your page and that sort of thing. So you want to monitor the activity, but you don't necessarily want to completely control it. If there's something negative out there and you can fix it, you know, let it out there and fix it and, you know, own up to your shortcomings and let everyone know that, you know, you're constantly trying to improve yourself, and that's what makes you different.
That's great. So, Gino, you were starting to say something. What was that? We all get so excited.
That's okay. I wanted to find out, from Shannon's perspective, is there another topic related to the topic of relationship marketing that she finds really important that we haven't asked her about yet?
Well, the only other thing that I really wanted to talk about was making sure that you deliver on your promise. And so that would be
big topic
in anything. Your company, personally, like, okay, so we talked about volunteering and giving to others and getting involved in organizations and having that personal touch. And if you get involved with something, it's extremely important that you actually follow through and you do your job and you deliver on your promise, right? Just as in companies, we want to make sure that we deliver on our promise. Whatever my brand message is, I'm going to deliver on that. Whatever I say my product does or my service can do, I'm going to deliver on that. In fact, I'm going to go above and beyond. And then what's even more important is the people who make up your company, because your company is about people, right? The people who make up your company have to deliver on their promises as well and their in their personal lives or their professional personal lives if they're involved in organizations and those sorts of things. So as the VP of programming for the AMA, you know, our CEO gives me the time during the day to fulfill those promises, and I spend time after work fulfilling those promises because he knows if I don't fulfill those promises, not only does it look bad on Shanna Kirby, it looks bad on Roger West because I represent Roger West. And knowing that your employees and the people who you have in your business represent you both in when they're at work and when they're not at work, giving them the tools and the resources to actually deliver on their promises and their commitments is critical for your brand and your company. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does.
And you're just talking about integrity all around for you, for your company, for whomever may be on your team. And goodness knows, I know that I've certainly been at events and seen people behave in such a way that you go, I don't know that I'd really want to do much business with somebody acting that way. So,
right. And as an agency, you know, it's really important for us to do business with companies who have similar values and beliefs. Nobody wants to do business with someone who's full of themselves or who thinks that they know everything or can do no wrong. And so we try and stand to those beliefs and those values. You know, we don't necessarily have all the answers, but we can find them. We don't necessarily do everything right, but we will own up to our mistakes. And we want to work with people who also believe that in their own companies. So we're careful about who we engage in business with. We don't want to work with a company or, you know, a marketing director or CMO or CEO who is full of themselves and think that they can do no wrong or that they have all the answers. We want to work with someone who believes in marketing, who believes it can change their business, who admits they don't know all the answers, who wants to find the right answers and do it the right way and get the outcomes and say, you know what, at the end of the campaign, it didn't work, but we learned this, that, and this, and in the next campaign, we're going to make these changes so that it does work, and who wants to go out of the box, and who wants to be different. And so we look for those types of companies to work with, the ones who have values and core belief systems that are similar to our own.
That also makes a lot of sense. And with your customers, do you treat your customers and prospects any different, or are you really treating them the same?
Do you mean different from one another or different from the way we treat us? What do you mean?
So one of the things you've been talking about is being authentic and really keeping to the commitments that you make. Do you do that with only a certain group of people? Do you do that with everybody? And is there a difference between how you would treat someone before they make a purchase from you versus after they made a purchase from you?
Oh, no. We were working on an email yesterday, and I think there was some confusion, so our CEO picked up the phone call, and the first thing he said was, you know, I think we messed up here. And they, you know, they said, oh, no, no, it's not your fault. It was my fault. You know, and there was this immediate sort of camaraderie between the two, because he didn't pick up the phone and say, you know what, you didn't communicate this to us, you didn't say this to us, now you're changing the scope and we're right. He never said that. He said, you know what, I think we made a mistake here and I want to apologize for it. And then, you know, they apologized for their part, and there was this camaraderie, and everything was fine, you know, no big deal. Everyone was happy. But I think that the way that you go about things and always admitting that, you know, you have done something that isn't necessarily perfect, or you've tried your best, but maybe there was a shortcoming. I mean, just being open and honest, I think people respond to that, because at the end of the day, we're doing business with other people, and, you know, nobody wants to do business with someone who thinks that they're always right. So we're very quick to say we're sorry and apologize and make things right here at Roger West, so that, you know, people are comfortable with doing business with us. And, you know, when we feel strongly about something, and, you know, because sometimes we have clients who come to us and they want us to do something that isn't necessarily a best practice or what we would recommend, we stand to our ground and we tell them that we don't recommend this, or, you know, we just tell them we're not going to do this. But we always come up with another solution and say, you know, even though that's not the right way, let's do it this way, and here's why, and we explain why we want to do it that way. And, you know, we try to come to an agreement in terms of how we're going to approach the project and those sorts of things. But we never want to come across as we're the end-all, be-all. We have every answer to every solution. We've been doing this a minute. You know, Mike has 15 years of experience, our CEO, so he's been doing this just a minute, and he has some really great experience and expertise, and so he knows certain things, and he communicates his expertise and his confidence in a very humble manner so that people want to continue doing business with us.
Gotcha.
Awesome.
I think one of the cool things about this business is a lot of other companies, they have recurring revenue. Like if you develop a website, there's like huge content management fees and hosting fees on a monthly basis. Or if you go to an agency, there's these huge retainers. We do have some retainers, but they're very, very small. The majority of our business comes from repeat business. So once they try a campaign with us, and it works, they come back for more. You know, once they engage in a project with us and they realize how personable we are and how flexible we are and our expertise, they come back to us. And so our business model relies on repeat business. It doesn't rely on repeat retainer fees or repeat hosting fees and those sorts of things. So we have to deliver. Because if we don't deliver, you're not going to come back. And so we set it up that way so that we're always on our toes. We're always doing the best we can. And then the customer doesn't feel like they're trapped either or that they're getting gypped. So it's a win-win situation.
So do these companies have internal departments that handle internet marketing at all, and they're then working with you? Or is your agency their exclusive internet marketing department?
Well, we have clients who are both. A lot of the companies that we work with already have an internet marketing department. Especially our larger enterprise level clients, they have an internal marketing team. One of them has a team of 6, another has a team of 10, another has a team of 4. You know, it just goes on. There's a variety of different dynamics within each company. A lot of them will only have one point person, one key marketing person, and then we act as their team. And some companies, usually the smaller companies, they don't have a marketing department, so we act as their outsourced marketing department and handle all aspects of their marketing. So it really just kind of depends. That's why, you know, we're flexible, a la carte services. We can sort of handle the enterprise level or the small business and handle the different requests. And we can jump in and on a campaign, we can help you launch a product, or we can handle everything from A to Z. Just sort of depends on, you know, the situation.
And I know some of my students are looking for ways of making money while they're building their business.
Mm-hmm.
Do you or these companies that have internal internet marketing people, how do you find people to do the actual marketing stuff online, like handling social media campaigns for companies, handling dealing with blogs and driving traffic to blogs and whatnot?
Well, the majority of our work is done here internally. We outsource very little, if anything. So we don't necessarily, we don't use contractors very often. We don't use, you know, freelancers very often, if at all. If we do, it's very, very rarely. We do have partnerships with other companies who specialize in the area of online marketing that we're not necessarily an expert in, or we don't have someone in-house. Or if we just are getting an inordinate amount of work and we need to, you know, send some overflow, then we partner with other companies in the area. But very rarely do we consider using a freelancer or a contractor. And that's just part of, you know, who we are, is offering that senior level expertise. And so the person on the other end, the client, is confident that they're going to be working with someone who's been doing this for a long time and really understands it and has, you know, makes their living off of this and is committed to Roger West. So we usually use, you know, everything internal, and if we do need to go outside, we'll use another company.
Well, we're almost out of time, and before we get off, I know, before
really?
We leave, I want to make sure that people know how to find you if they're looking for help with their marketing. So you want to share with them how to find you?
Sure. Well, we're in Tampa, Florida, but we have a website, which is the great thing about the Internet. It's open 24/7, 356 days a year. And it's at www.rogerwestcreative.com. That's rogerwestcreative.com. And you can always call us. Our local phone number is 813-433-1869. And we do have an 800 number, but I'm really not sure what it is.
Don't even worry about it. I'm sure it's on your website somewhere, right?
It is
that's
on
right.
the website, and that's where you know, you can get a lot of great information. You can see pictures of our key staff members. You can look at some examples of our work and read about the different services that we offer.
And they're just delightful
there. Absolutely, and it has been so great talking to you today about relationship marketing and learning more about how big companies do marketing online. It seems to me like it is really all the same kind of stuff. It's not any different at all. I just connected with you on LinkedIn also so that we could stay in touch. And if I can do anything for you, please don't hesitate to ever call. I would love to stay in touch, especially when I get down to Florida this winter.
Yes, that would be great. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. And I really enjoyed our conversation. I look forward to staying in touch with you.
Same here.
This has been great. Thank you so much, and we're so happy to have you here on Relationship Marketing 101.
And
you're
Rhonda
so welcome.
And I will be
Thank
back.
You.
Rhonda and I will be back next week, same time, same place, for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101. Thanks, Rhonda, for getting us great guests.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.